So I told Peanut that no pup's too small. And he sighed deeply and stared at me without blinking for like 70 seconds. So evidently some pups are too dumb. He's a sweet boy. anyway, Paw Patrol, the mighty movie, was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name is Sean Collier. I am here with two people that don't want any association with Norbit, so I'm not going to place them in its world. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Hi.
And Camila Adams.
Hello.
What a momentous occasion it was last week. Our new worst number one movie of all time.
Oy vey.
As far as we've seen them. And smashing the record, we had nothing that averaged in the single digits. Our previous worst was Transformers The Last Night, 10 2/3 out of 100. This is 6 2/3 out of 100.
I think I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I would watch every Transformers movie in a row before I would watch Norbit again.
See...
Solid.
I disagree, and the numbers back me up. The interesting thing is, it did that without being any of our lowest number.
It wasn't really? My lowest.
No.
Oh, what was my lowest?
You gave a 5 to Norbit, you gave a 4 to Rob Zombie's Halloween, and a 0 to Texas Chainsaw 3D.
All right, that's fair. I thought I gave Norbit a 3.
One of you gave it a 3 and one of you gave it a 5.
We can go back and check the records.
I feel like I gave the 5.
Yeah, I think you might have that backwards.
12. I give it a 12.
Wow. 3.
Ooh.
Yep. I was going 5.
Well, then...
But I forgot about giving a 0.
Still,
I stand by that.
Still not your lowest, and not Camila's lowest. Camila, your lowest was the 3 you gave Friday the 13th, A New Beginning.
Oh, wow, I don't even remember that.
It was rough.
I went lower a couple times. The two Transformers, I gave a 5 and a 7, respectively. Rob Zombie's Halloween, I gave an 8. Hangover Part 2, I really hated, I gave a 6. But... never have we been so united in our hatred. So congratulations. The new bottom 10, the bulwark against being one of our 10 worst movies, is the Prom Night remake out of 23, followed by Divergent from episode 2.
Tony!
22.75.
Yeah. That was the first Tony draw.
First Tony.
Then Texas Chainsaw 3D. Then The Game Plan. I forgot. We just did that, and I'm like...
Game Plan, is that
the Rock? Rock one.
Okay.
There was something on here that I was like... We did an episode, and I truly have no idea what this movie is. It wasn't in the bottom 10. I'll figure it out later, but we've done a lot of these.
We've done a lot of episodes.
166.
I was thinking about this because Kasia's in kindergarten now. She was not born when we started this show.
No.
So our show is kindergartner age.
Yes, our show is stepping into the kindergarten this year. And welcome.
The bottom 5, There's Something About Mary, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, Transformers Age of Extinction, Transformers The Last Night, and Norbit. When I saw Something About Mary, which was the last time we were like visceral hatred, I was like, it was better than Norbit, though.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I'm like yeah. It is a good, what is this, 50% better than Norbit.
As much as I hated There's Something About Mary, I understood why it was liked at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why anyone would ever want to watch Norbit.
Yeah. I am baffled by the... what audience? Like, who outside of Eddie Murphy's family was watching this? I don't understand.
Apparently quite so many people.
I don't get it.
The movie I truly don't remember is With Honors. What the hell is With Honors?
Oh, Brendan Fraser! Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser!
And Joe Pesci.
Award winner Joe Pesci!
Well, it's my privilege, thank you.
Harvard.
Oh.
He's an unhoused man.
That was gone from my mind until...
It's not terrible.
Now, but it's
no,
also but
very
guess,
middle
you know,
of the
you
road.
Don't...
He's not a Gen X woman who tucks Brendan Fraser back there.
I apparently
you have identified the difference here.
Let's Camila 63, Robin 58, Sean 15. So yes, yep, apparently.
Yep, you need to want the phrase. And Camila and I do.
Yes.
As much as I'm glad we are not here to talk about Norbit, at least last week there were feelings. Those feelings were disgust, but right, we had something right to go off of. Now it's like Paw Patrol is a film that I saw some of. 34. Now it's time for you can't handle the truth.
Right. Like, I'm blink twice, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
I was so excited when I saw the both of you had seen it. Anyway,
oh, good,
we're saving that for You Can't Handle the Truth. Fast forward if you're interested.
I mean, who has the recap?
I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to?
Let's get right to that.
Yeah. Okay, I have to say, I might go over because...
What? Are you reenacting the movie?
Because I wanted to be able to devote some of my recap time to what the fuck is a Paw Patrol.
I didn't put that in my notes, so I'm glad you have it.
So I do have that. I tried to get it down. We'll see. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
The Paw Patrol are a group of dogs working under a 10-year-old human boy to provide all public services in Adventure Bay. There's a cop dog, firefighter dog, garbage dog, construction dog, water rescue dog, and an air rescue dog, Skye. Skye was the Smurfette in the original Paw Patrol, but she was joined by second girl dog, Liberty, in the previous movie. The Paw Patrol respond to a meteorite crash caused by Don't Call Her Mad Scientist, Victoria Vance, and end up with superpowers from the meteorite crystals. Skye is basically Superman, which is good because she's been having issues about being the smallest dog. Meanwhile, Liberty thinks she didn't get any powers and processes that by hazing the trainees. Skye loses her own crystal, so she steals her teammates to go get it back, and of course loses all the crystals to Vance, who summons more meteors. The team recovers one crystal from giant rampaging Mayor Humdinger and pass it around in a fight to take back the others. Liberty did get a power. She's Elastipup. The team gives all of their crystals to Skye, even though she blew it last time she had them all, and Skye single-handedly stops the meteor apocalypse because no pup's too small. In short, Paw Patrol the Mighty Movie is a harrowing examination of the consequences of privatizing public services.
You were like 5 seconds over, yes, but that was great. That was worth it.
I did it. I kept trying to get it under a minute when I was practicing, and I was like, the only way I could do this would be by erasing Liberty, and I refused to do that because my main beef with the Paw Patrol from the dawn of time has been there's only one girl, and if they rectified that very slightly, I need to acknowledge it.
Well, also, Liberty is much smaller than Skye.
I wasn't sure about that.
Well, I guess because she's long, she's counting.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
are the breeds of these dogs known?
The what?
Yeah,
the
Liberty's breeds? Clearly a
dachshund.
A dachshund. I've never decided how that's pronounced.
A hot dog. A
wiener dog.
A wiener dog.
Yes. Yeah, so Kaj has this toy, these Paw Patrol toys, and she's got like a little it's a truck, and then she's got the little figurines. None of the pups fit in the driver's seat of this truck except Liberty.
Mm. Oh.
Because they're all too tall. They're all too big.
But Liberty is a rectangle dog.
Right. So Liberty is clearly the smallest dog.
Including Skye? Skye will not fit.
She will not fit.
But it depends on maybe the dimensions. Maybe Liberty is the shortest dog, but Skye is by volume the
maybe
smallest.
So... Yeah.
So you have some experience with these dogs.
I feel like
then
you should lead this conversation as the parent.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They were, I know the Paw Patrol song. I know their names. I know how much the toys cost.
Buy me that useless piece of plastic.
I know how they feel when you step on them barefoot. Mm-hmm. But there's like, it's like, as we were watching it, Kaj did watch this with me. Yay. Or I watched it with her. And I kept having to remind myself that I'm supposed to be watching this movie because I kept like, because like usual, like most kids' stuff that she watches, I'm like zoning out or doing something else. Like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be present here.
Oh, I just didn't try. Apologies to our listeners. This is the first time where I did my notes and the movie at the same time because I was like, it's not like I need to watch this.
Right.
To,
yeah, I mean, yeah. And Kaj tells me that Everest is a girl too. But I don't...
Everest isn't in this movie, though.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I only know this because, kind of on the same wavelength, Matt Singer wrote his review of Paw Patrol. He writes for Screen Crush. And This is something I keep meaning to Skeet, and then I'm like, I don't really want him to read this, but I know for sure he doesn't listen to our podcast. You can tell how much I like Matt Singer's writing because I will go to Screen Crush to read it and endure the assault of advertisements that that website involves.
God, it's horrible.
Regardless, he interviewed his 7-year-old daughter, and her favorite character is Everest. And she was like, I did miss Everest, but I really liked that the girls were the most important characters. Oh. And then she said, if I could change, I love Paw Patrol, but if I could change one thing about it, more girls.
Nice. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And I was like, good for you, Baby Singer.
You know, I didn't even think about that because Kaj and I recorded a podcast the other day and I totally didn't think about.
I'm sorry, what?
I let her lead. And like, it's like 10 minutes. But
is this,
you know,
for fun or for public consumption?
Just for funsies.
Okay.
She wanted to talk about unicorns. Like, she sat right there.
And we have a clip. I don't know if we do. I'm just putting that in there in the event we can edit in a clip.
Yeah, you can also decide whether or not you feel comfortable making your daughter's voice in our podcast.
I'm totally fine.
Okay. I would
just like a little clip it.
We do. It is an explicit podcast. I don't know if you're aware.
Just enough. Yeah. This is an explicit household.
Hi, this is Kaja Keir. Hi.
Welcome to my show.
Welcome to my show.
What do you want to talk about today, Kaja?
I want to talk about unicorns.
Okay, let's talk about unicorns.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite unicorn?
Rainbow unicorn, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
That's amazing.
I did actually plan to have my BFFU, Perry, record the 60-second recap without any expectations of it being 60 seconds or a recap. Mm-hmm. But then I smashed my face in running away from a small
from a
dog.
Small dog. No,
mighty dog.
No pups too small to scare the shit out of Robin.
It's true. It's literally true. Leash your dogs, even if they're tiny, because you might run into a dog-phobic person while she's in the middle of a freakout, and she will run away from your dog, trip on the not well-maintained sidewalk in Chambers, PA, and break two of her teeth.
That bugs me when people don't put their dogs on a leash.
But my dog's so well behaved.
Like, you never know. They're very erratic.
My dog couldn't hurt a fly.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to set those dudes off.
Well, and more than that, I mean, the thing that always got me is, like, your dog's fine, it might run into another dog.
Right.
Like, I'm part of me leashing my dog is protecting my dog.
Exactly.
Keeping it at arm's length in case I need to scoop him up. Right.
It's in his air jail.
Yes.
So, my biggest question, watch this, is who is funding this?
It's incredibly popular, but it's Canadian. It was like,
no, I mean funding the Paw Patrol.
Who's funding the Paw Patrol?
In the world of Adventure Bay, this is why I said this is about privatization of public services.
Because I'm funding Paw Patrol.
At what point were they like, you know, this 10-year-old white boy with the hair that sticks straight up? He should be in charge of all of our safety.
What is his purpose?
Does he have parents?
Right.
He lives in a bunker with a bunch of dogs.
I don't understand. Have you guys seen the SNL skit with Oscar Isaac?
No.
About Paw Patrol?
I have not.
Please watch it.
If there's a clip available, I'll put it in here.
I'm City Councilman Herb Tangier. Mayor Goodway has put all our lives at risk with her Paw Patrol initiative, and I say it's time to vote her out. Fact, this mayor fired all of our city's police officers, firefighters, and paramedics, and replaced them with a group of 6 talking dogs. I think that was a bad idea.
Is it the same kind of thing where it's like, why?
Yes, he lives in the city or whatever, where he's like... He's just going on about how this doesn't work.
We should probably not just have one Dalmatian as our sole firefighter.
There's only one firefighter, also a dog. So if there's 2 fires at the same time, someone's getting screwed, I guess? Who is in charge of this organization? A child?
Yes! The Paw Patrol is run by a 10-year-old boy named Ryder. Who is this kid? Beats me. As far as we can tell, he has no parents and doesn't go to school.
Even if we assume that this is like a planned community, like a test city, and despite having a giant downtown, there are only 4,000 people live there or something, so that conceivably... It really seems like to get anything done, you call the one number and they say, we're the Paw Patrol. Where are you? And they know where everything is and can be there instantly.
Yeah.
I don't mean to nitpick the logistics, but like my first true reaction to this movie was like, how do they know where the scrapyard is? Like, what is there? What their anyway?
I assume that they have all of the resources that like 911 has, because they control everything from construction to garbage collection to arresting people.
Your taxes just go to Paw Patrol in this world. That's
so. So there's my answer. The taxpayers are funding the Paw Patrol operation.
Because... I kind of assume they must be.
It has to be, because I don't recall seeing any other, like, any human police officers.
Right.
Like,
that's just... the question. Is this a case of ACAB, even if you're a dog?
Yes.
Or is this actually...
ACAB, even if you're a dog, is an existing concept. There's a lot of dog cops, literally.
Or, but are we seeing a defunded police force where the police has been reduced to one unarmed dog who just shows up and tells you to get out of the way of something that's going to fall on you?
I do not want a dog in charge of policing me.
I kind of do, but this you're a cat person. How did you feel that the only cats were evil?
This was the, going into Paw Patrol, I knew a few things. I knew it was propaganda. Mm-hmm. I knew there was, at one point, only one girl, and I knew that kitties are bad guys.
Yes.
And I have long accepted that to the rest of the world, kitties are bad guys. So that is the lowest on my list of reasons that I dislike this. And frankly, first on my list is that there's only one girl, which, you know, what can you say? I'm a white lady.
Well, this was released September 29th of 2023, the 26th number one of the year. It won its opening weekend with $22.7 million. And yes, this was Saw Patrol weekend.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
The two big releases were Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie, and Saw 10. So Paw Patrol kept Saw 10 off of our list.
What?
Thank you, yes. I guess.
Yeah. Fucking pups.
I know. We could be here talking about, like, they kind of reinvented the formula in a refreshing way. I liked Saw 10
exactly,
instead.
But no.
I'm happier to be talking about Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie.
I don't know. It was pretty good. Saw 10 in second with $18.3 million. So not particularly close. They both beat The Creator, Academy Award nominee, The Creator, $14 million.
Garbage it's, movie.
Why every 6 months does a sci-fi movie come out saying this is, insert male director names here, passion project that is going to revitalize and become a franchise launching science fiction spectacle? And it never does.
Sean, you know why.
I know, but in as risk averse as Hollywood is, haven't they noticed that nothing becomes Star Wars but Star Wars? Mm. In 40 years?
No.
Yeah. It never works?
That's wild. What is the magic formula?
Be Star Wars.
Really good filmmaking, I think, is a really important piece that is often overlooked.
Well, it's that you make... Look at Blade Runner. Look, these are not movies where the genre is science fiction. Blade Runner is a weird film noir. Star Wars is a
Blade
space...
Blade Runner a flop?
Yeah, but at least it stuck around, you know. Star Wars is a Western. It's follow up an established story formula, and don't try to like, here is our magical sci-fi world that we have to explain to you for you to under. These guys, these are the good guys in white. There's the bad guys. They're going to go pew pew. What are we talking about? Paw Patrol.
The Mighty Movie.
Spent 7 weeks in the top 10, $65.2 million. That's 39th. For 2023, nestled in nicely between The Exorcist, Believer, and Cocaine Bear. It just sits right in the middle there.
Nice.
Somehow this did not...
Something for the whole family.
Right. This did not even win the Kids' Choice Award for Best Animated Movie.
Wow.
That went to Across the Spider-Verse. Good job, kids.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Correct selection. The Paw Patrol series, debuted in August 2013, is still active now. The 11th season will debut later this month. To date, there are 260 episodes of Paw Patrol. This was the second movie, the first, which was called Paw Patrol the Movie. Only added one word. That was in 2021. It was severely hampered by the pandemic. Only made about $40 million simultaneously released on Paramount Plus.
Pause. I'm going to interrupt you because I feel like the fact that they went from Paw Patrol the Movie to Paw Patrol the Mighty Movie opens a world of possibilities, right? Like Paw Patrol, the Shakespeare movie.
Oh.
Right?
you think the Mighty is the... Like probably this was Paw Patrol, the superhero one.
Yes.
And they... So next it's going to be Paw Patrol, the...
I hope so. I mean, the guy says it like they have new powers, new costumes, and new merchandise. Sorry, parents.
Well, you already have that one. I don't have that one. I've got Megator. That's Mega-T. You can tell because the index fingers crook slightly different. Megator, Mega-T, Mega-Tie, Mega-2. Every time I click, it's $9.95 to you.
That's going to be the goal for each one of these.
That's true.
Yeah.
Some
actually, there is a set with dragons, and Ryder isn't. Kaji has the set with the Ryder has a knight's. Has the armor on.
Okay.
Saw Patrol the Majestic movie.
Yes.
Here we go.
The Mythic movie. Some voices you might not have noticed you were hearing. The couple in the wrecking yard at the beginning of the film was Kristen Bell and James Marsden.
I 100% recognize Kristen Bell's voice. Cute. It was very similar to one of the goofy voices she uses incognito on Veronica Mars to get answers on the phone.
Oh,
nice.
The yoga instructor was Serena Williams.
Huh.
Did not recognize that.
The poodle was Kim Kardashian.
I caught that in the credits, yeah.
Her daughter with Ye, Northwest, was one of the Pomeranians.
One of the others, there was a second West.
Oh, maybe
Saint
two of them.
West, is that another child of hers?
I know about Northwest because why
Come
did
on.
You do that to this poor...
Why wouldn't you is also the thing, though.
It's like, we need to make Blue Ivy look like a normal name. We'll name our child Northwest.
Hold on. Somebody call Pilot Inspector.
Good point.
Meanwhile, Moon Unit Zappa is like, I've been here the whole time. And the second where the cat could speak was Chris Rock.
Which I genuinely love because him being like, I can finally speak and I have things to say.
That was great.
Shouting out, I have things to say is something I have been doing regarding stand-up students for the last 5 years that I've had my job.
Yeah.
So it was a moment of catharsis for me.
Surprisingly, this was rated PG.
Everything's rated PG. We've talked about this.
But the original was rated G. It is It is very rare that a G-rated animated film will get a sequel that goes to PG. It does happen. It happened to Finding Dory, which we did an episode on. But
there's the violence.
There's a lot of peril.
There's a lot of peril. And I don't want to derail completely. Well, yeah, sure I do. What the hell else are we going to talk about? One, were those deliberate 9/11 vibes when the building got blown up?
I did not clock those, and I am primed to clocking 9/11 shit, but that doesn't mean you're wrong.
I mean, they had the, like, dust on people wiping the dust off, like in War of the Worlds, when they're definitely doing a 9/11 thing, right. and just kind of the rubble and the building coming, it felt like it. And then I thought, does it matter? The audience is unaware of 9/11.
Oh boy.
I mean, anyone, the target here is like six.
Yeah.
The target audience for this was born in 2018.
Yeah.
Sean, stop saying numbers.
Zero.
Yeah,
they have no idea.
Wow.
I felt like they were like, well, we can kind of like do a nod here, but it doesn't matter because the parents aren't paying attention and the kids don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And like, it was a dark thought in my viewing of Paw Patrol. Finally, because there's so few facts, let's play a game. You might know this all instinctively. The game is, which of these is the name of the Paw Patroller? a robot dog who drives them around. Is that Paw Patrollo? Patroller. His name is Patrollo. The robot dog who drives them around. Is that Robo Dog or Dogbot?
I'm going to go with Dogbot.
Actually, I don't know. Robo Dog.
Robo Dog is correct.
Okay.
You already named it. A husky that does mountain rescues. Is that Everest or Crag?
Everest, Crag.
I think I'm punching these up. An American village dog who does jungle rescues. Is that Rover or Tracker?
Tracker.
You said that really confidently, and I believe you.
It is Tracker.
Yeah.
A Bernese mountain dog who is paraplegic and can talk to dinosaurs. Raptor or Rex?
Raptor.
Rex. It's Rex.
Mine's better. Yours is better, I guess.
That's
what you're
thing.
Saying. Yeah.
The point I'm making is everything is like the rescue dog is named Tracker. The dinosaur talking dog is named Rex.
It's
like,
for children.
The children
I know,
able to
but
it.
Just go a second.
That's actually probably what it is.
That's true.
You're the parent in the room.
Otherwise, that shit's not getting bought.
I have a question.
If they can't say it.
Does Liberty have a job?
moral support?
Okay. I don't know.
I'll look it up while this is the main challenge. Name the seven dogs in this movie.
Okay.
Who are the main dogs?
I think I can actually do this, but because I wrote the recap, but do you want to try first, Camila?
I can try.
Okay.
So, Sky, Liberty, Marshall, Chase. You said seven?
Sky, Liberty, Marshall, Chase. Yep, that's four.
Marshall's the Rubble. Firefighter, Chase is the cop.
Rubble.
And Tracker.
Tracker does not appear in the film.
So Rubble is the one who is always hungry.
Yellow, the bulldog.
Yeah, so yeah. I love, by the way, that always hungry is just an enduring character trait. Mm-hmm. Like, we had that in our shows when we were kids.
Yeah.
So Zuma.
Ah, yeah.
Is, Zuma.
I believe, the water dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah. And which was the president when I lived in South Africa was Jacob Zuma. And he was bad. And so I was like, what? And the magnet dog, who's like the junkyard dog, I want to say is Rover?
Rocky.
Oh.
That's better than I could have done. Also from the Paw Patrol Wiki. Before her big break, Liberty was a stray dog who spent her days and nights in Adventure City dreaming about the adventure of her canine heroes. Da, 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 da.
That's not what the movie
seem
says.
At all like her character.
That's not what the movie said. Yeah.
Continues to protect her city with the Paw Patrol. In the series, she protects the city solo as the Paw Patrol still live in Adventure Bay, as opposed to Adventure City. It's not entirely clear. Energetic, extremely loyal, and an incredible friend.
I think Camila's right. Human resources. Like,
yeah.
She goes into training the Northwest babies.
Yeah.
Mm. So one thing I found confusing is, so like the theme is it's okay to be small,
mm-hmm.
which I found very moving, partially yeah. because I was thinking about my BFFU Perry, who mm-hmm. is BFFU. A tiny person. And
not for a child. She's not just saying he's... A child. He's,
no,
he's
no, no,
a
no.
very
if
tiny child.
If you take
child.
A four-year-old yes. and then you take the special four-year-old of Perry, he's a little one.
Well, I mean, you know.
He has little parents.
Right, yeah. yeah. Mom yeah. and dad.
This is great. This is how genetics work.
They're not dunking any hoops. No. And I love you, Mike and Abby.
We all love them because it is okay to be small. So I really like having that message to children. But I did get a little confused because they exclusively refer to the Paw Patrol as pups. They never call them dogs.
Right.
And... So I was like, wait, are they literally puppies? Like, are they baby dogs?
I don't think so.
And then they introduced the junior Paw Patrol who are puppies. And yeah. I was like, so that can't be the case. But at one point they're like, oh, cop dog, you're growing out of your uniform.
Yeah.
And Sky is like, I'll never grow out of my uniform because I'm the smallest pup.
They can't be. I mean, they're certainly shaped. They are designed to have puppy traits.
Okay.
But that's kind of all animated dogs and all animated animals
yeah,
to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is some implication that they're like, I don't know, teens? Yeah.
They have a 10-year-old boss.
Yeah.
They're just, some people just call all dogs puppies.
That's true.
I kind of do that myself. But
I call cats kitties.
Yeah, like, and I get what you're saying about him growing out of his uniform. So maybe they're not full grown.
I also think that nitpicking the logical inconsistencies in this is a fool's errand. And
of a town that is protected by a group of dogs.
I just can't stop myself from being myself.
What else are we going to do here?
Right. Well, I would love to hear, do you have more facts?
No.
I would love to hear what Kasia thinks.
She's really into Paw Patrol right now.
Like Paw Patrol, like Mayor Goodway.
Okay. Is that your favorite show?
Yes.
Paw Patrol?
Yes, Paw Patrol game.
What do you like about it?
I like about, like Sky and Everest and Chase and Rubble.
Ooh.
Yes.
Who's your favorite? So those are your favorite puppies?
Yes, these are my favorite puppies.
She sat and watched half the movie uninterrupted.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like she actually sat there and was looking at it, watching it. Was quiet too for about 20 minutes, which... Whew, hallelujah. And so she enjoyed it. I think she really liked it. She was back on her, because she goes through, you know, as most kids do, I'm assuming, go through like these loops of like what's their obsession for the few months or whatever. And so she was kind of off the Paw Patrol for a while, and then we got back on it. And so she and I got a Paw Patrol video game for PS4. And so she played. So I introduced her to the PlayStation 4.
What's the genre? Is it like an open world?
Right now, that what the thing is, they're walking through the town and they eat these biscuits, these doggy treats on the way. And then every so often there is like a bunch of trash that rubble needs to, or a bunch of rocks that rubble needs to come crash through. And then there's a bunch of trash that the other one comes and picks up.
In my head, it was Grand Theft Auto, but with the Paw Patrols. Like,
no, not yet.
You can wander around going on whatever missions strike your fancy, or go to the strip club. Who knows? It's, you know.
It's a puppies, it's a dog world out here.
Yeah.
But there's also a little side mission of, like, dancing, where Sky and Liberty are, like, have a pup party or pup.
Girl stuff.
Pup boogie or something like that is what it's called. So, yeah, she really liked it. And so now we are working towards getting her this jet. That Sky has. It's a Sky jet. And then we went to Target. I bought her like a little thing, but this jet's like $50.
I'm sure.
For what I saw.
So is this a put things in the jet jar situation?
Yeah, it's like, this is your reward chart.
Yep.
This is like, these are the things that we expect to do for the next week, and you need to get X amount of stars to get this, and this is what we're working towards this week.
I am glad you are making this work for you.
Yeah, because fuck all that noise. $50 for a piece of plastic that she's gonna probably be sick of in like 2 weeks after she gets it? No, thank you.
I don't know. I'm like, that seems like a reasonable price. Because I feel like that stuff was 30 when we were kids.
It's just watching your kid just like love it for a day and then like forget about it and it's like kicked off somewhere. It's like, do you know how much I... And, you know, I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
The thing that fascinated me... I was only interested in this movie, like, anthropologically, because I was like, this is how we teach kids how stories work. Because, like, there's so many points, as opposed to a Disney or Pixar movie, which are very deliberately aimed at everyone, in this, which is aimed at such a young audience, there are things like, whenever a dog makes a joke, all the other dogs laugh for a second to, like, cue the kids.
They're
like,
the
that
track.
That was the funny thing.
Yeah.
And even, there's so many lines that are like, we have to go to the wrecking yard. We're almost at the wrecking yard now. Like, we're literally teaching kids how to follow a narrative.
Dealing with really short attention spans.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't think anything else was interesting. I somehow missed the entire climax because I was like, they're just running around. They've been running around. They're still running around. There was a plane rescue at some point.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the coolest thing in this whole movie was when Sky's jet turns into a helicopter to land. That awakened my inner four-year-old watching the Transformers cartoon, and I was like, fuck yes, hell yes, I'm in. And then I remembered that I was 40 and lost interest.
I thought the best thing was a plane booping a dog on the nose.
That was also great.
That was plus three for a plane booping a dog on the nose, plus one for a dog moonwalking with all four paws. That was also,
here's the thing. I thought this movie, I mean, I mostly am curious what children think. Mm. Like, it sounds like this movie hit with its intended audience.
I think so.
And watching it as a grown-up who doesn't have kids, I was like, they clearly put effort into this, which is more than what I can say for a world of children's entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, the animation is good, and the music is it seems like it was actually composed for this film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was clearly thought and effort and time and money put into this, and I respect that.
I was confused as to why they chose Charlie X.
It's for the parents. It's just a moment of Icona Pop and beat Charlie XCX.
Yeah, that was just kind of like nervous. Like, okay, how far are we going to let these lyrics go?
Yeah. Not very far.
Right, yeah.
There was a Christina Aguilera original in there that did not chart, or I would have had when Sky is flashing back about being even smaller.
That's a Christina Aguilera song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was an original song for this film.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, because I kind of went, I bet they thought maybe they could get a nomination, not for an Oscar, but for maybe a Golden Globe.
Mm.
Yeah.
It did send me down the rabbit hole of what are Nickelodeon films?
Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron is one of them.
It's, Harriet the Spy.
The interesting thing is there's more and less than I expected. Okay. I expected that there would be like six, or that there would secretly be 300 that we didn't know about. And there might be about 30.
They made a good burger movie.
You named the first one. Harriet the Spy was the first Nickelodeon movie, which was a bit of a moment.
Yeah. But, I mean, I loved that book so much when I was a kid.
Followed by Good Burger, the Rugrats movie, Snow Day. And then it got pretty normal, like Rugrats in Paris, Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, Hey Arnold, the movie, the Wild Thornberrys movie. They started just... But there's some... Lemony Snicket's a series of unfortunate events is a Nickelodeon movie. Somehow Nacho Libre is a Nickelodeon movie.
That makes sense to me.
Hotel for Dogs is a Nickelodeon movie. So they've done some stuff kind of quietly. Like both of those Michael Bay Ninja Turtles were Nickelodeon movies.
Hmm.
You know, me perfectly and you close, you know, existed as kids at the cultural apex of Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was seven when the cartoons debuted.
Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. So I had Nickelodeon on in my house all the time until I got old enough that I wanted it to be MTV instead.
Mm. Yes.
And then at that point, I started babysitting kids who had Nickelodeon on all the time.
I don't know if I've ever seen a full SpongeBob.
Sean. Camille. Okay. You guys have homework.
Do you have a list? Is this like the Twilight Zone where you could be like, here are the four that you need to know
one
culturally?
Specific episode that you can watch. It's all the right. band episode, and it's 15 minutes. You have to fast forward through the first half of the episode because each episode is two segments.
Yeah.
So fast forward, but it's worth it. It's 15 minutes that will tell you everything you need to know about SpongeBob SquarePants.
Really?
And then you can decide if you want to move forward from there.
Right on.
I feel like that about covers it.
Yeah. Hit with the 6-year-old. Skaj, two enthusiastic thumbs up. I would give it. Are we on ratings?
Yeah,
sure. What the hell? There's just not all that much more to go over. 34. I mean, it is very. I guarantee I'm the only person that has ever written this sentence down anywhere. The second act developments in Paw Patrol: The Mighty Movie felt forced. It's not very good. There's nothing wrong with it. 34.
Under similar logic, I'm going with 40.
Mm-hmm. 45.
Yeah. This is a serviceable film for children.
Exactly.
Man.
And we are adults.
I did not find it annoying.
I also was not annoyed.
If I had given it one more point, I would have been able to do that math in my head. 39 and 2/3. It's there. You can watch it. What was the letterbox? We didn't drop the trailer in.
When our world is threatened, one team is ready to launch.
Did he say lunch?
No. I said launch.
The meteor's heading straight for us!
Whoa!
It's giving off some kind of energy. I didn't do it.
This September.
I think we've got superpowers.
And that's why I wear a hard hat.
I've got the power!
I feel the need for super speed.
I'm a wrecking ball.
Surf's up.
Look at your paws.
Great. Now the clumsy pup shoots fireballs out of his paws.
A new breed of heroes.
Superpowers are real.
Hits the big screen.
We're gonna need a new name for ourselves. How about the Paw Patrol? But more. But just a little bit extra.
Yeesh. How about the Mighty Pups?
Those should be my superpowers.
Coming in hot.
I'm gonna take them one by one.
Oh my goodness. I can talk. I have so much to say.
Give me that. It's showtime.
Well, well, well.
Humdinger.
He looks different than I remember.
Playtime's over.
When you go up against one of us,
you go up against all of us.
Let's go!
Now that we're super, I'm never gonna get to sleep.
Well, you're probably more tired than you...
you've got to be kidding me.
Let me just say, I do think the Paw Patrol, but more, with just a little bit extra, It's very funny.
Yeah. That was my problem. The trailer made me think this might be funny. And it really had the four jokes from the movie.
Yes, which are, right. Yeah.
Which is clearly someone went, go watch a Despicable Me, right? Four jokes like that.
I think that this trailer did its job, which is make the children say, yeah!
The Letterboxd list was anti-watch list, movies I hope to go my whole life without seeing. But it's not that.
The person who made that list, there are so many worse movies than this.
That's a bit strong.
You're okay. It's going to be fine.
We've seen a lot of them. We got new bingo cards. Anything you want to highlight?
What's new? Broken Glass. Movie about obsession, handcuffs, grocery shopping, old school answering machine. Mm. So that's where we are. And I remembered to put the free space on this time.
Thank you. Also, I like that we've got title contains part of human body because I was about to go, paw! We don't have those.
We don't have balls.
Surely someone was handcuffed at some point in this cop movie.
I don't think so. The cops kind of
They didn't. They took Taraji P. Henson away.
Oh.
Who was Taraji? Was Taraji the scientist? She's the bad,
yes.
Yeah.
Academy Award nominee and steward of democracy, Taraji P. Henson. All right.
The Project 2025 plan is not a game. Look it up.
They definitely took her away after the gag was like, this confession caused, I did it. It was me. Like, then they cut to her
Yep. That was a pretty good joke also.
Lil Rel, I don't know how to pronounce his last name yet.
Howry, I think.
Howry?
Yeah.
It's the L at the end of his first name colliding with the R. It's very confusing. Handcuffs, definitely. I neither know nor care if this movie was someone's directorial debut.
I would perhaps argue Job Search for Liberty looking for her powers.
No.
It's a stretch. Okay. The bingo queen has denied my motion.
I think that's it.
All right. So, just handcuffs.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all I got.
And your free space.
We're in this standoff with, for those of you who are new, we say Tony Goldwyn, famous actor and disrespected DNC commentator.
We're so mad that they cut away.
We say him to symbolize the random hand of fate that points us to what we draw. We're in this standoff where we keep getting movies that there's not much to say about.
Yeah.
This is three in a row, like... You know, the glory days of Unsinkable Molly Brown, like felt like there's nothing to say about this. And there was so much comparatively.
I was going to make the proposal that we little treat ourselves. But then I remembered that spooky season is upon us, which is a little treat for two out of three people on this show.
I feel like it's a little treat for us and like very slow exposure therapy for you.
Yeah.
Like by year 10, you won't care about scary movies anymore.
Well, I mean, I voluntarily watched a really gruesome horror movie last week. And I guess I voluntarily watched two horror movies in the past week.
We'll find out about it. In You Can't Handle the Truth. And no, it's a podcast about Blink Twice. who wants to lead?
I can't stop thinking about this movie.
Same. Like, I mean, I only saw it yesterday, but same.
Oh, yeah, I saw it like a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I walked away from there and I cannot stop thinking about it. And I'm not exactly sure why. Like, I really enjoyed it. And it's definitely one of my top 10 for 2024 movies. It's so fucking deep. Like, and I don't understand why there are people saying that they didn't like it or that they don't understand it. Or
I mean, it's really hard to watch. I think a lot of people, I can understand people being like, I found this incredibly unpleasant.
Well, yes. There were several scenes and moments where I was very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that I'm like, yes, well done, Zoe, for you know, having, like, giving me this feeling of being uncomfortable. And like, it's not an easy thing for me as a, you know, true crime connoisseur and horror movie lover. It's not for me to just feel that really discomfort and fear as well. And also I do give props that in the way that these things were shown, like we see clips and snippets of what the girls are remembering.
Yeah.
And the way the camera tracks and pans through the melee, but not really settling on anything.
Yeah.
And we also don't really see Channing do anything.
Mm.
You know?
Like, I was during the like most raw scenes, I was just so like deeply horrified that I feel like I wasn't really processing information, so to speak.
Yeah.
But there are certainly people you know, not to compare myself in any way to future EGOT Zoe Kravitz, but occasionally with stuff with my theater company, when we do feedback, people will be like, I don't know, I left feeling upset and troubled by what I had seen. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you paid me for.
Then I did my job.
Did we bill it as a comedy? Right. No. Like, it's especially when there's also been debate about the fact that I guess a lot of screenings had trigger warnings.
My screening had a trigger warning.
Yeah, mine did too. And I've never seen that before in a movie theater.
I have only ever seen that before documentary films. It's it's like par for the course for TV shows.
Yeah.
But I felt really, like, grateful for that.
There are some people who are objecting to this because they felt that it's a spoiler of some kind. And I'm like, one, we need to remember, spoilers is some shit we made up in the past 20 years. Like, it doesn't actually matter if you have an idea of what might happen in the movie you're about to see.
Okay, well, first of all, I disagree, because if you go back to Alfred Hitchcock movies and it would be like, don't spoil this, blah, 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 you're wrong.
But, like,
You are correct that spoilers are less important than the safety of your audience.
Then it's important that people have some ability to agree to what they're exposing themselves to.
Yeah, right. And I think that, especially because Zoe Kravitz is a first-time filmmaker, her putting that trigger warning there to me is her saying, your safety is more important than my art.
Yeah.
And I think that is extremely respectable. Mm-hmm. And I saw this movie not having seen the trailer. I literally went to it because I needed to go to the movies. And Lauren, frenemy of the pod, had, mentioned that his girlfriend really, really hated the like ending. And he was like, I really want your take on it. I was like, great, I'm going to the movies. So I had no idea what this was about. I knew that the phrase Me Too was vaguely associated with it. But when I saw that warning, like, that meshed with knowing Me Too was about it. But the very first scene is Channing Tatum's character apologizing for sexual misconduct.
Right.
So it's not really, it's like, this is already on the table.
Right,
folks.
Yeah.
And like, it's a spoiler that the bad tech bro is bad.
Right.
Yeah.
This movie is not subtle in any way.
And that's what I saw people saying, like, well, this is a little direct. It's a little heavy handed. Yeah. It's a little, and I'm like, because it's reality,
right?
Yeah,
because it's and people are like, is that really reality? Fucking yes.
Having women having to smile and dance seductively or just pretend like you don't remember or you don't know what's going on in order to get out of a situation safely, fuck yeah, that's real.
I feel like like a lot of critics and even some audience want horror movies to like cocoon themselves in metaphor. Like, you're not allowed to be about sexual assault unless you're the actual subject is a big bear. You're like,
you're so right. That's so smart.
And no one is ever like, why wasn't Schindler's List a little less heavy handed and direct about its subject matter?
I'm pretty sure some people think
that. Well, probably. But, yeah, I think it didn't shy away because it shouldn't. And I think she's very promising as a director. If there's some, like, you know, it did the story kind of loop off from time to maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I was all over the place. My Letterboxd review is that, like, if I had a favorability dial, I would have given myself a repetitive stress injury because there were plenty of times when I was like, this is insisting upon itself. Yeah. Or like, we get it. And then there were times when I was like, you were saying, like, this is depicting a thing that is so core to being a woman that is almost never depicted.
Right.
Right. And that's always, I love that.
Yeah.
I did not like the end, but I don't think that it's bad. I kind of felt like if this movie ended at the Beyonce needle drop, I would have walked out like 5 stars. Right. But like, it shouldn't end there. It's better for it to end the way it does.
Yeah, I like the ending.
Yeah.
Personally.
Like, the whole, sorry to cut you off, it's just like the complicity involved is probably the most interesting thing that she really explores. Like, the Gina Davis character is probably...
Such a good scene.
Yeah.
Especially as an older white woman, I was like, she went there!
Right, yeah. Yes.
So, like... Sorry, what were you going to say?
I don't even remember. Like, chills just thinking about Gina. Yeah,
right? she's so good.
But yeah, and one of the things one of the many things that stuck with me is when Channing says, there's no forgiveness, only forgetting.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck. Like, that is real. That's a real one. That's a real line in there, right? Like, yeah. Absolutely.
And I had a moment of, do I don't know if I could fully evaluate this because I'm not Christian. they seem to have figured out forgiveness, but it's inaccessible to me.
I don't know, man. Maybe the better thing is, like, for most people, there's no forgiveness. There's only forgetting, because that's just kind of like where I lie. It's like I'm not a very forgivable person. Like, you wrong me or my family, I'm going to remember it, or me and the ones I love or whatnot, and I can't move on. But maybe that's just something I need to talk to my therapist about. But I also was really, another really uncomfortable moment is chanting that I'm sorry for like 2 full minutes.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm like, okay, so bro, you've got a future. Like, you have some range here.
You know,
here.
He should have been nominated for Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
Like, he's got it in him. And I don't think it's going to happen here.
Like, Hollywood is not ready to let him
but
live.
But he's aging out of being just this beautiful specimen, right. So maybe they will.
Yeah.
The cast is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And the soundtrack, too. Like, fucking perfect.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just, you said something about, like, kind of being off kilter, like, feeling like it was coming back and forth on you, like, your feelings. Mm-hmm. Kind of feel like that works. Like, I felt that, like, with, like, there's vibes. It's a party vibe. Because on one hand, like, that movie left me like, oh, God, I really want a vacation. I really miss vacation, because that's a whole fucking party, like, vacation vibe. On the flip side, it's like, I can't stop thinking about there's no forgiveness, only forgetting. Like, it's just,
I mean, the answer is there's reparation. Right? Like, that is the third option, which never actually happens.
No, just revenge.
I know I'm focusing on the wrong end of the cast, but Christian Slater is so useful.
Oh, Christian Slater
is so good. I don't know why he isn't in 8 roles like this every year.
Exactly.
But this is not, like, Christian Slater was the best thing in The Wife. Do you remember that? You don't even remember. The movie that Glenn Close almost won an Oscar for?
Slater. I remember nothing but her.
Great supporting performance there. I also got a shout out Haley Joel. I recognized him even before he was in Focus. I'm like, that's Haley Joel Osment. And like, when he came into Focus and the other people in my audience, I saw it with a great audience, by the way. It was like a bunch of women. And there was like a lot of like, but when he first showed up, they gasped. And I was like, I knew it.
And can't continue without acknowledging Kyle MacLachlan, obviously. But
shout out Simon Rex just randomly showing up.
Naomi Ackie was great, and
she's
really know who she was before this.
She played Whitney.
I didn't see that movie.
I was like, yeah, it's Whitney Houston.
Nice, okay.
Apparently she's in Star Wars Episode 9. I don't remember.
I don't need to remember anything about that movie.
She was in Lady Macbeth, which is the breakthrough before the breakthrough for Florence Pugh.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So she's been around for a minute, but she's great. She carries.
And
this
the girl
movie.
From The Hitman is great, too.
It's a good cast. It's a good movie.
Maybe.
You should.
Yeah, I can't believe that Maybe got the and credit.
With Gina Davis and Aaliyah Shawkat.
Weird.
Yeah.
With Academy Award. Christian Slater. Gina Davis.
Christian Slater doesn't get in there. Kyle MacLachlan doesn't get in there. But Aaliyah Shawkat.
Wow.
Good agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Good for her.
This is one of the, wasn't there a letterbox list? Good for her.
This is good for her cinema.
Good for her.
I'll tell you what, technically I gave it a higher score, but The Crow, they did that again. It just, there's
no one died this time, right?
Not that we know, not that we're aware of. There's just so little reason for it to exist. And I know that's the case with a lot of remakes, but like, hey, everybody, The Crow isn't The Crow because it had such a brilliant story that can be retold across the ages. The Crow is The Crow 50% because goths needed something at that time, and 50% because it gained a reputation because it killed its actor. Like, that's half the reason it became what it is. So to make it again when goths are pretty well set,
you know,
spooky season keeps expanding. Goths are happy right now. It just, you know, there are parts of it that look very good. It will occasionally get you into that. I want to walk around a city in the rain with a big coat on. Like, it'll occasionally hit that. Bill Skarsgård is good. I thought FKA Twigs was fine. The soundtrack's good. And it's just kind of dull in there. It's and apparently everyone agrees with me because nobody went to see it. But what I would recommend, but prepare to be devastated, is Gary, the Gary Coleman documentary.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about that. That's on Peacock.
Right? On Peacock. It is so sad. And I know that every child star, particularly every dead child star, you know, story is going to be tragic. To comprehend that this man did a thing. How many years was Different Strokes on? Five?
I don't know. Maybe?
Five or six seasons, maybe. So he does a thing for 5 years when he is a literal child, like 7 years old. And then the rest of his life, one, he doesn't grow.
Yeah.
Which we learn is because he had a kidney transplant at the age of five. And the, like, immunosuppressant so that his body would accept stunted his growth. And it didn't really take. He went on dialysis at 10 and was for the rest of his life.
Which is really hard.
Yes. So for the rest of his life, because he physically stays looking like that thing he did for 5 years when he was a child, people are, you know, not taking him seriously and making him say his catchphrase until his death.
Until he dies.
Yeah. Until his untimely death. It's also one of those movies where everyone around is like, well, legally, I can't say that his wife killed him. And then it just hangs on that person sitting silently
his
for a while.
His wife killed him?
His wife definitely killed him.
Like a mercy killing kind of situation?
No, spoilers.
Sorry, okay. We can talk about this off mic. Goodness.
Watch it more later. And she speaks more than anyone else in the movie.
Oh, are his parents on there?
Yes, who also did not do him any favors, to say the least.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the wife is there thinking, like, finally, I can set the record straight, and is given ample time to say her piece, but everyone else is like, her fault. It is fascinating. It's just very, very sad. But it's on Peacock. It's highly recommended, particularly if any part of anyone still thinks that being famous is a good thing, watch this movie. That was very good, and I liked the 1955 sci-fi movie Cult of the Cobra. There's some GIs. They go into a place where a lady turns into a snake in a religious ritual. They try to take pictures of her. Everybody freaks out. She follows them home and kills them, as she should.
Well, I mean, good there was her. No consent, right?
Good for her.
Good for her.
Robin, besides Blink Twice?
Oh, I saw Immaculate. Sydney Sweeney.
Yes, yes.
Gets pregnant without having sex and fucks everyone's shit up.
That was pretty good.
I actually really enjoyed it. I gave it a higher score than Blink Twice. You guys are talking me up on Blink Twice, and I'm all over the place. Yeah. I feel like this is one of those movies I'm going to call a masterpiece one day, and then the next day I say it's trash. But Immaculate, I was like, masterful trash. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, this is doing what I need it to do, and that last take is fucking amazing. Apparently, that was her first, or sorry, that last shot was apparently her first take. Give her some kind of Fringe award for it. She deserves
a movie that reminds us why nunsploitation is a word.
Yes.
It's like this is what this is for.
Also, it was really admirable that they were like, listen, she's a nun, but we do have to find a time to show you Sydney Sweeney's perfect breasts.
I feel like everyone, including her, knows, like, listen, we need to document these as much as you're comfortable with.
And thank you for being like, yeah, they're perfect.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that.
No, that's good. I mean, it's bloody, and it is, if that had a trigger warning, it would be called birth stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but I told my friends, I'm like, if you ever have been planned to be pregnant, do not watch this.
Yikes.
Anything else?
Oh, I watched Drive Away Dolls.
I love that movie.
You know, Drive Away Dolls, I don't do the like, the hearts on Letterboxd. Camila, you talk all the time about, you were like, it's 2 stars, but with a heart.
Right, yeah.
This one made me want to do 2.5 stars, but with a heart. But I have a policy of giving a half star bump to anything that features one of my former improv students. And this featured 2.
Oh, wow.
Plus Haley Holmes from Sketchville. So, because it was filmed in Pittsburgh.
Right.
So anyway, I gave it 3 stars. It's not good, but I enjoyed watching it.
I liked, let's do the Coen thing. Let's finally do it with all women, and let's get out of here in 70 minutes. 2 thumbs up.
Yeah.
It's so short. And people are like, this just does the same Coen thing. I'm like, yeah, no, but with women this time. So good movie.
Also, why complain about it? Does this, like, chocolate tastes great every time.
Right, right.
Right. I'm kind of like, yeah, we like the Coen thing.
I love those 3 people, and it's not just because I got to do an interview with them when the movie came out, because it was filmed here. Beanie Feldstein, Margaret Qualley, and Geraldine Viswanathan is how I've been saying it.
Good for you, Janelle, for your journalism.
They are like, you're the three coolest people. And so it's just nice to watch them on screen.
Yeah. She was a standout in Blockers. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
She was one of the kids in Blockers. And so, like, when she showed up, I was like, the girl from Blockers! I assume she's done other things in the interim, but probably not in front of me.
Camila?
A Family Affair that Jack Efron... Or Zac Efron movie.
With Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
I put that on and fell asleep.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's two stars but a heart. Yeah. You know, it's perfectly acceptable, but it's also, there's nothing new or, like, record-breaking. Like, it's just meh.
Yeah.
And but I am curious, because I've seen a bunch of stuff about Zac Efron's face. What's going on with his face? Like, somebody said he almost died.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a big thing, like, his face, his jaw is like really pronounced right now.
I thought that was because he was doing steroids.
I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't find anything. Maybe he was in an accident, or I saw something like Zach is ready to open up about his accident, or I don't know.
Oh, I fully attributed him looking weird to steroids with absolutely no investigation on my part.
It's like, Matt, steroids.
This is why I'm not in the Paw Patrol, because I judge before investigating.
Wait, what movie is this? There are a lot of Netflix movies that I put on my maybe I'll review this list until I get a better opportunity. There are so many that are just like, no, you came out and you were a movie.
I mean, I had a couple of cute, like, some slapstick, you know, bits. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean.
Who was the daughter chick?
Joey
King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I enjoy her.
She's fine.
Yeah. I saw Afraid.
There were 4 seconds where I thought about it, and then I read 6 words of one review, and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, no, don't, just skip it. It's not, and that made me sad. Like, it really could have. It was a point, I went to the bathroom for, and it was gone like 5 minutes. No, I didn't go to the bathroom. I just went and bought more snacks. It was 5 minutes, and I come back, and it felt like I missed, like, everything. It was like, what happened? How did we get here? What's going on? Dan tells me what happened. It was like, very simple. I literally missed 5 minutes, so nothing makes sense. It just at some
point you missed the most important 5 minutes.
Yeah, apparently at some point everything just falls apart and nothing makes sense. So skip it. Even though I do love me some John Cho,
it just felt like, what if Megan didn't have Megan?
Yeah,
Then it wouldn't be good.
Yeah,
and the end.
The Deliverance.
Yeah, I already talked about it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and I talked it up.
Yeah, I would be talking it the other way. All I'm thinking about the whole thing is, how Glenn Close? Why Glenn Close? Her character to me was unnecessary. She didn't need to be there at all. It didn't need to happen. Like, there's nothing against Glenn Close, but I don't feel like this character was like, I'm staring at Glenn Close trashified. Like, it's just too much. It's too much. I'm like, I never get a moment of dissolving into the movie because I am very much distracted by Glenn Close in this fucking getup.
It was
crazy.
You had to swallow that pill whole.
I'm gonna do a quick Google image search.
To me, the movie is about the kind of constant, every aspect of my life is not good right now.
Yeah.
And I still have to keep dealing with problems. And to me, she was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's, you know?
I mean, that is...
That's the appropriate response.
How long does that last?
The whole movie.
The whole movie. Oh, and then there's a scene where there's no wig.
Oh, that's what I saw.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you... Yeah. So you're looking at the Gollum.
You should...
Yes.
Prior
to that, like, there's a wig and a lot of makeup and stuff. So.
I will admit, when she's in a chemotherapy chair and she kind of gets her titties out to impress the nurse, I'm like, this is weird because it's you.
Right?
But I thought that it was, for reasons, a family member I don't want in my house is living in my house, and I don't like them, and yet I have to put up with them, even though they're actively, because of my circumstances right now. I mean, I thought the whole thing is a study of this pressure build up around the Andra Day character, and so she added to that for me, but, you know, I could be hometown bumping it.
Yeah, I feel like there were a lot of good possibilities that were happening. It was a decent ingredient. Like, the recipe looked good, but somebody didn't follow the recipe correctly. Something was overdone. He substituted something for something, salt for sugar, whatever.
Oh, this was just Lee Daniels?
Yeah. It just seemed messy to me. But the one thing that I can't, like, Andra Day did great.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, even though she was distracting as fucking unnecessary, Glenn Close did great. Like, everybody did their job, the actors. I will also give it the credit of, I've never seen, like, as a Christian, as I've never seen someone, I've never seen a movie use the tongue, like, a person speaking in tongues for good, really.
You're right.
It's usually a sign of possession at that point. And this was, it's used as a sign to fight off the evil. So, you know, I give it props for that, but I would not recommend it.
Yeah, I was surprised because I was like, that was great. I really like that. And most of the reviews have been mixed. Most of the people, there are a few people I've talked to who loved it, but most people I've talked to are like, no one is like, I hate this, but people are like, it just didn't quite come together. Yeah. And I disagree, but hey, that's why we all.
So 2 stars and no heart.
2 stars, but, no heart.
Right.
Big difference.
I had 4 stars heart. And maybe half of them is because similar to your improv student role, a frequent performer in Vigilance shows, Bradley Bell, is in the movie. And I saw her posting, like, this comes out soon, can't wait to watch and see if I made it on camera.
Oh.
I had screener access, so I got to message her and be like, there's literally one shot of this movie that's just you.
Aww.
Because when Caleb McLaughlin is freaking out in the classroom, like, she has a shot of her being the kid turning around and going, what's wrong with... Yeah.
Aww.
So, good for... Congratulations.
And I know Amy Elliott, who was in the chemo ward with Glenn, who's sitting there talking shit on her.
Anything else? Other movies? I'm leaving here and going to see Beetlejuice, so that'll be that'll be for next time. It's time to draw a movie. We are in spooky season. If you're just joining us, spooky season gets 3 episodes, Black History Month 2, and Christmas 1. We stand by this structure.
We know about what's important here.
Yeah. But as much as we always get excited, like, I feel like it's a fair statement that more bad horror movies have gone to number one than good horror movies.
Well, here's the thing. So our list, last we checked, is roughly 10% spooky season eligible because every horror movie goes to number one.
Because they're released when nothing is going on.
Yes. So there's a wide variety of quality there.
Well, I can tell you what you will be watching. You know, how many times have we seen The Silence of the Lambs? So many. How many times, though, have you seen Red Dragon?
Yay!
Actually, I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah.
I think I've only seen it once, but it kind of looms large in my mind because
it's actually pretty good.
It has a loaded cast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Hannibal is the most in it the way he is in Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
Like, he's in a very similar role, so it just feels right.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Manhunter?
I started watching that the other night and haven't
finished the same
it.
Story.
It's on Prime for free.
I highly recommend watching Manhunter before we record.
If I, over the week of my wedding, have time to watch an extra movie, it'll probably be Hannibal because I've never seen Hannibal.
Oh, really? That's kind of boring.
Wait,
that's the wrong one.
Manhunter is a way better use of your time.
Yeah, Hannibal is Ray Liotta. I was thinking of...
Hannibal Rising?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the one with the dead guy.
Yeah.
No, Manhunter is the first Hannibal Lecter on screen, played by Brian Cox, and the Will character is played by the guy from CSI, whose name is escaping me right now.
Dennis Farina.
Different guy.
Oh.
William Peterson? That sounds like a name. Anyway, short shorts, Michael Mann directing. It's great.
Red Dragon is one of the things where I can tell you when and where I saw it, because it was Showcase Cinemas East, which is the one that used to be in Monroeville, because I was with a friend named Vanessa, a good friend at the time that I haven't seen in years and years. And we had just gone to, I think, what was my first convention ever.
Oh.
There wasn't a Steel City Con yet, but it was some kind of horror convention. I went to a horror convention at Monroeville Convention Center and met, you know, three through five on the call sheet for The Evil Dead, not nice. Bruce Campbell or his girlfriend, but the other three.
Right on.
And then we were like, let's go see Red Dragon now. And that was a very nice day.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And we've done Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. So it's all thank you, Tony. Thank you for sending us down the road of trials.
Good gravy.
A 3-hour 50s musical that no one watches anymore. Norbit. A Paw Patrol. And your reward is...
Give me a reason for a movie marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get there, this is... One of the most recent, this is the number one movie in America almost exactly a year ago as this movie, this episode is
Taylor
being
Swift.
Released.
So wait, what, just a year ago?
Yes, September 29th, 2023. What was the number one song in America? Much of the year was Taylor Swift, but not this week.
Beyonce.
No.
Jack Harlow.
No.
Okay, Imagine good, because Dragons. I wouldn't have been able to say the next thing.
I certainly know these people. Writing this down is when I discovered the existence of this song. Oh, I had never heard of this song.
So you say this people, so it is a musical group?
What it's a somebody featuring somebody.
Okay.
What is that guy?
Is this going to be something country adjacent?
No.
Apologize, okay. Timberland, one Republic?
No, none of those. Pretend this is not last year, but in the tens, and who are you guessing?
Drake.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Drake featuring a person he dated, but they never really talked about it much.
Rihanna?
No. They talked about it.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus?
Drake featuring SZA.
Okay.
The song is called Slime You Out.
Never okay. heard
you
of
know
it.
What? Truly did not know that was a song.
Yeah, you know what? This is why I tap out of music after 2010.
Well,
I thought we were revoking his number one.
Drake has been slimed out. Yeah. He was not slime you out. He has been slimed out. Mary Beth was like, whenever we're in the car, you put on your playlist of all of the songs you like. I want you to make a Spotify playlist of all the songs I like. And I was like, sure, do that. Just write them all down and I'll make a playlist. And the most recent song on it was Hotline Bling, and I had to look at her and be like, he not like us though. Certified lover boy, certified pedophile. I don't think he goes on the playlist anymore. That's it for him. Yep. He's all done. Slime you out. That doesn't even sound
Bye,
real.
Jimmy.
Number one movie in America.
All right, say this is Kajia signing off.
This is Kajia, sign off.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.